morning, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Lindsay and I'm in the leadership team here at Falkirk Vineyard. And alongside my husband, we lead the Compassion Ministry, which is called Love Falkirk. Today, I'm going to be continuing with our series on confidence. Hasn't it been amazing? I have loved having all the speakers and I've learned so many new things as well as being reminded of many biblical truths. Today, I'm going to be speaking on confidence in the community. When I was asked to speak about this, I thought, yes, I love church, I love the community, great. But the more I kept digging into it and reading the Bible and praying about it and started jotting down thoughts, I also remembered I was asked to do 20 minutes and I thought, oh, that might be a bit of a challenge. Because you see, as we start exploring God's church, God's community that he's given us, and there's a lot more than 20 minutes worth in there. But today I am going to highlight to you the different things that God's been putting on my heart over the past few weeks about community. Before we get there, I want to spend a few minutes exploring what the church is and what the church means to God. You see, church was God's idea. The church is important to God, and the church is loved by God. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but in the Bible, when church is mentioned, it's never used to refer to a building where God's people met. It's always referred to by location. For example, the Church of Jerusalem, the Church of Rome, because of course, the church is God's people, gathered together, not a building. You see, simply put, we are the church. And God loves the church. Before we read a small passage in Ephesians, if you haven't done so before or you haven't done so lately, I really encourage you to read the entire book of Ephesians. It is this amazing book of the Bible which is filled with wisdom and love and insight into the church then and the church now. Let me read to you from Ephesians 5, verses 21 to 31. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is head of the church, his body of which he is the Saviour. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives submit to your husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing the water through the word. And to present him to yourself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. In this passage, it describes Christ as the head of the church. The church is referred to as the bride of Christ, and that God loved the church and gave himself up for her. How amazing! The church is the bride of Christ. He loves her. He loves us just as a husband loves his wife. Think about that for a moment. As a husband loves his wife. When Blair proposed to me, we do have differing stories of how that happened or how romantic it is. But to Blair, it was the most romantic story there was. And I think the more he tells it, the more romantic it becomes and the more romantic he thinks it is. But no matter how it happened, in that moment, Blair asked me to be his wife. And of course, he could have asked anyone. They might not have said yes, but he chose me. He loved me enough to say, be with me for my whole life. I want you standing next to me. For the good parts, the hard parts, the adventures, the mundane, he was asking me to be the person to stand beside him. I did say yes, and we have been and we will be committed to each other for our whole lives. I love him. I love him in all of the laughter and through all of the clothes that he never picks up off the bedroom floor. I love him because I love him unconditionally. And this is just human love. I believe that God used this illustration to demonstrate to us in a way that we can fathom, a way that we can understand just how much he loves the church. We may not fully understand it, because I think his love for the church is so much greater than what we can understand, but this illustration does help us. We can thrive knowing that he loves us and he chose us. In the passage, it also describes Christ as the head of the church. We are to submit to him as the head of the church. This is not forced submission, which is how we often think of the word submit. Jesus has proven himself to be trustworthy, and his love for us is unfailing. So we can trust him to care for us, to direct us, and to lead us, and we can trust him in that. The last part I'm going to highlight out of the passage is that Jesus gave himself up for the church. Jesus loves the church. He gave his life for her, for us. Just how great is his love for the church? And so in response to that, to his sacrifice, we must love the church. If Jesus has demonstrated the sacrificial love for the church and is calling the church to be his bride, who are we to disagree? How would a man feel if someone was treating his wife with little worth? Why would that be so awful? Because he loves her. His life is with her. He's committed to her. So we must take seriously what Christ has set apart. Through this short extract of scripture, it is abundantly clear that we can have confidence that Jesus loves us, he loves the church, he's committed to the church, and we can move forward knowing Jesus made the church and sees it as valuable and good. All of these metaphors just show us how much Jesus treasures the church. But why is the church so important to Jesus? Let me share a story with you. It's not mine, but when I read it, it really made me stop for a minute. There were these researchers who were asking people on the street, why is church important? When they continued asking people, they came to a man and they asked him the simple question, why is church important? Would you care to comment? They were not prepared for his answer. It says, he replied, I believe the church of Jesus Christ is the most important force in the world today. Its task is more important than all of the governments and universities in the world combined. There is nothing to compare with it. They replied, that's a pretty strong statement. Why do you say that? He responded, because the most significant event in human history was when the living God took on human flesh and lived among us as Lord Jesus Christ to bear our sins. And since he has ascended to heaven, his church now reveals him on earth. So the church is important because it reveals Christ on earth. Let me say that again. The church is important because it reveals Christ on earth. We, the church, are important because our purpose is to show Jesus to those who've not seen him, heard of him, or experienced him. Which brings me to my next point. How important should church be to us? John Stott says, if the church is central to God's purpose, as seen in both history and the gospel, it must also be central to our lives. How can we take lightly what God takes so seriously? How dare we push it to the circumference what God has placed central? You see, church was God's idea. It is carrying and spreading the good news. It is for building up disciples and for spiritual growth. We cannot and must not undersell the importance of church for us and for the world. I mean, what a job description, to spread the good news of Jesus. So we can have confidence in the church. It was built by Jesus and it is an integral part of God's plan and purpose. We can have confidence in the church. If you read through the New Testament, the church is spoken about a lot. God has given us instructions. He knows we are not perfect, and he doesn't expect us to create a church by ourselves or be the church by ourselves, God has given us instructions on what the church should look like, what our mission is, and how we can be a community that God has intended us to be. In the Cambridge Dictionary, it gives us the definition of community to be: people living in one particular area, or people who are considered a unit because of their common interests, social group, or nationality. If you've been with Falkirk Vineyard for a while, you'll probably have heard our strapline: church in the community, serving the community, changing one life at a time. When we say this, we mean Falkirk. So in terms of our definition, that means that we are a community because we are where we are geographically. We're Falkirk Vineyard, so we're talking about Falkirk. But we can also use the term our church community. And we say that, and what we really mean is this group of people. People who are gathering together, we're worshipping God together, we're supporting each other, and we're working together for God's purposes. So for me, that definition that is in the Cambridge Dictionary is not good enough for me to emphasise the importance of God's community. You see, we're not part of this community because we have a common interest in God. It's because we are bound by a common purpose which has been appointed to us by the living God. Now that is what will keep us together as a church community. God's church is all over the world, and we are brothers and sisters in Christ. A few years ago, Blair and I hosted a couple from Nashville in our home, and we gave up our only bed. We were just married, we didn't have a lot of money, we didn't have any other beds in the house apart from our bed. And we just said, yep, we'll do that, and this couple came and we gave them our bed and we slept down the stairs. Now, why? They were in Scotland, travelling around and sharing God's word and worshipping Him. Why we did this is because they were a believer, a disciple of Jesus, and that is one large community. They were our people. Think of it like that's the big circle. The big circle is the world full of God's believers, of brothers and sisters in Christ. But then we have this smaller circle, and that is our local church. We are the same. It's the same community, same idea. It's just that we're smaller. Both communities, just different sizes. And this morning, I want to explore our local church, Falkirk Vineyards community. In Colossians 3, verse 12, it says, "Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Ah, that is what God wants us to look like. God loves the church, His bride, and we are to love one another. We cannot have a church that loves others if we don't have a church that loves one another. And the verse continues to say, Colossians 3, verse 13, "Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful." This scripture allows us to focus our minds on what God has called us to be like, and how God knows we will find it difficult at times, and He knows our weaknesses. When we become Christians, we are made new in Christ, but we are still learning. We haven't become Christians and suddenly become perfect, but we are becoming more like Jesus as we spend time with Him and trust in the Spirit's work in us. Paul is not asking us to do anything that the Spirit has not already empowered us to do. This passage in Colossians says, "Love one another. Be full of mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Love." The church is called to spread the good news. We can do this by loving each other well, being quick to forgive, being merciful, being kind, having gentleness and humility, and showing patience for one another and for ourselves. As we love each other just like this, we show others what God's love is like. And when our faith springs to life and shows extravagant love and forgiveness and kindness and generosity, that is when we as God's people will shine in the darkness, when we are overflowing of that extravagant love for people. In churches, We are taught, we explore the Bible on a Sunday in a small group, we worship God with one another, we walk alongside one another, we're discipled and we disciple. When we do, and when we take part in our church community on a weekly basis, we mature spiritually. So as we take part in all of these things and take part in our community, we're maturing spiritually. When we mature, we begin to live life as God is asking us to. We're listening to God, we're spending time with Him, and we're using the giftings that He's given us. Then, as we mature, we find it easier to love others inside and outside of our church community because we are becoming more like Jesus. You see, our actions and attitudes are an overspill of our love for Jesus. Have you ever heard people say, oh, their laugh is contagious? Or, oh my goodness, they're so excited, they're making everyone else excited. Wouldn't it be great if that was God's love? In and through us and being the overspill of the thing that's contagious? Wouldn't it be great if our excitement and enthusiasm for Jesus and God's word is what the overspill is and what people are finding contagious? Let that be a challenge. See, as a church, we need to love and encourage one another as well as love and encourage those outside of our church. You see, the world is beautiful and adventurous, but it can be a difficult place. Life is a blessing, but it can be hard. People want to belong somewhere that is loving and kind. The world is full of criticism, opinions, anxiety, and hatred. We don't want to be another set of people adding to this or another person adding to this. Instead, let's be overjoyed to share our story of healing from a Sunday service or prayer that was answered from small group or telling people of how your church family made meals for you when you were sick. Let's inject people's lives with hope, love, and the work of God's kingdom reaching into this world. So I would just love it if I was someone that was injecting other people's lives with love and hope and the work of God's kingdom. I remember when I moved from Ireland to Scotland, I knew no one. And that's not an exaggeration, I mean no one. And once I started going to uni, I did get to know some people, which was great, but it wasn't quite what I needed. I needed more. I needed a church community, people who could pray for me, people who could walk alongside me, teach me, welcome me into their homes as part of their family. You see, I needed a new home. A church community is a family, and it is important that we grasp that. If we arrive at church on Sunday as someone who expects to be served, we arrive on a Sunday thinking about, you know, what it does for us and what we get out of it. Then we can become critical, an onlooker, an outsider. But that's not how a family works. If you see the church as a family full of brothers and sisters in Christ, you begin to gather together to be in relationship with one another. You begin to see serving as something that we all need to do, something that we all chip in together. We came together to worship as a family of believers and we're all taking part of that. Where we all belong, we help and we see strengths of one another. We can also see weaknesses, but we work together and we love one another. If there is something that needs doing or maybe changed or addressed, we do that, but we do it with love and confidence that this is where you and I belong. I never used to get this. When I invited people over for dinner, I used to try and make things, you know, perfect. I would try and cook things that I had never cooked before, ever before. I would get dressed up, I would have the table sitting nicely. I wanted everything to be sitting just so when people came in through so that I could serve them. And just as I have matured and life has got busy with two young kids running around, it's become more of a come over for dinner and then help out and cook your own dinner at the same time. You see, you'll probably end up reading a bedtime story to my kids, watching a gymnastics display, building Lego, taking part in a dance routine, and then at some point you're probably going to be asked to help out with dinner. You see, that's a family. When you come to the house now, you're part of my family when you come for dinner. I used to apologise to people when they had to come and I'd say, oh, I'm so sorry, I meant to get that done, or I'm so sorry you had to read that story. But every single time, everyone has said, oh, don't say sorry, I've loved coming and getting to read that story with your kids or getting stuck in. Why do people love it? Because everybody wants to belong. They want to be part of each other's family, to be loved and to love, to share experiences and build strong relationships. That's how church needs to be, our own family where everyone chips in. I can use a computer do you need me to help out with the words at the back? Or I can see that we're short on people in the kids team. Let me sign up and we can do this together. Or I can see a new couple come in this week. I'm going to go and say hi, welcome them, and just make them feel welcome at church. You see, when you jump in and become part of the family, we work together, and it's this loving, nurturing place where mistakes are forgiven, hard times are worked together. It's a place where we can ask for help and support openly, not having to wait for people to ask if you're okay or what's wrong. You're openly coming, asking for support and help because you have confidence that they love you, you love them, and we are family. God has given us many spiritual gifts and practical giftings, and we're all different, but we've all been created to bring glory to God. If you read 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 26, you'll get a clear picture of how we can all be used. We're not going to go into that today, but I do recommend that you read a little bit further into that. Another point that's worth highlighting is that church is a place where everyone belongs. I believe that as we continue to work in our local community through Love Falkirk, and if we, our church family, continue spreading the good news of Jesus with friends and family, we will see people coming to Christ and coming into Falkirk Vineyard. And that means that the church will change as we get more and more new disciples of Jesus. But that's exactly what Paul was talking about in Ephesians, that Jesus died for everyone. Now there's nothing that stands in the way of all humanity uniting as people of God. In Ephesians 2, it says, verse 19, "So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together, we are his house, built on a foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone of Jesus Christ himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit." You see, in those times, it was believed that God accepted Jews, rejected Gentiles. Paul says, no, Jesus died for the world, and all are now welcomed by faith to be God's people. We must welcome everyone into our place. We must be a place that everyone feels that they can belong as a disciple of Jesus. So let me just do a quick recap now of kind of the things that we've covered before we look at practically how we're going to do this. God has made the church. God loves the church. The church is important to God and should be important to us. Our church should be a community where we should love and forgive one another. Our church is a community where we grow spiritually and God's love spills over, reaching those around us. Everyone is given different gifts and we all have a part to play in our community. Our church is a family and our church is for everyone. As we grasp all of these things, we should have confidence that we as a church community can welcome, that we teach, that we worship, that we love, we forgive, and then we reach out and love others in our wider community. There's four practical points that I'd quite like to go over today. So number one, be a part of it. I know that church looks different. I know online is not how we would choose to do church or small group. But as believers and as part of Falkirk Vineyard family, we need to meet together and read and learn and worship and pray. If you're not doing this regularly, please do. Now, more than ever, it is so important to put church at the centre of your circle, not the circumference. If it's important to God, it has to be important to us. We have many things going on, so come to church, prayer on a Sunday evening, small groups during the week, or Zoom calls. You are welcome, and we want you to be part of this. Number two, encourage. Encourage one another, love one another. During lockdown, I tried to bake, write notes and cards and cook and deliver them randomly to people's doors. Why? Because I wanted them to feel loved. You don't have to do it this way, but you could send a message. You could go for a walk, go for coffee, pray on the phone, a random FaceTime. We may not be able to meet together as a church, but church is a family and we must love one another well and continue to meet together in different ways by talking and communicating. Why don't you pray today and ask God to highlight people who need encouraged and to even just give them a text? Number three, speak. speak to people about how amazing God is in your life and what a blessing church is. You see, I don't know about you, but when I get, you know, something on offer, the jeans that I wanted were half price, or a dress I got was a fiver, I tell everyone. I mean, there's no hiding it. People say, I like a dress. I'm like, a fiver! It was a fiver! It was great! You know, and how amazing would it be if we were just as delighted to shout that out if someone said, what were you doing at the weekend? And I go, church! I was at church! You know, wouldn't it be great to have the enthusiasm to share the goodness of God and His love? Number four, get involved. Just like one big family, ask what you can do. Be part of it. Don't sit on the sidelines looking in. You are a big part of God's family and you have been given gifts. Today, I hope that you've grasped just how much God loves the church and that you can be confident that you are part of this amazing thing. Confident in God's love, that you can reach out and show others who He is. I also hope that I have encouraged you to encourage others. We are the church.